Okay, we're going to wait. What I'm going to do is try to build on some of the what you've heard before that I didn't know you were going to hear before, but I think we're going to see some things that are in common here. I'm going to talk about C first. I'm going to talk about another tool that looks more at environmental goods and services called the Enviro Atlas, and then I'm also going to talk about EJ Screen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that since you got a really good overview on that from Mark. Again, since I work for EPA, I have no relationships to disclose. Kind of the problem statement here relative to EJ communities that we're dealing with many underserved, economically distressed communities, many of whom are facing higher exposures to environmental stressors. They're looking for answers. You know, in some cases, it's the community, as was described just previously, that has a Superfund site and is looking what else is going on in our community. And I'm actually going to show you an example that's similar to that in Portland, Oregon. You know, they want to understand their health risks and what can they do about them. But accessing, you know, getting that information, integrating it, putting it together, you know, it's difficult to get the data and it's difficult to interpret what you've got. In addition, the decision makers, which there's a whole variety of those in a community, they need access to the results of a variety of ORD, Office of Research and Development at EPA, science, and should be able to use system-based framework for decision making that's incorporating more than just the single factor in the environment or a single outcome. So for some of the solutions, you know, we're basically saying the EPA and partners, and I would include, you know, the California Enviro Screen as something that we've all looked at in terms of development of our information and tools, are developing complementary data resources. We're drawing on a number of the same features from something called the Enviro Atlas to help inform our mapping or other data summarization. So I'm showing here Enviro Atlas, EJ Screen in the middle, and CFIRST on the right. And the tools are being published in such a way that they're useful by themselves, but they also can be used together. And I'm going to talk about an example of how they might be used together, just to kind of illustrate. You know, I think Mark was talking about apples, oranges, and fruit. I guess I could have titled mine "Tools, Tools, and Tools." What do you do? And what do you do with what? So, just briefly, Enviro Atlas. You know, it's a web-based resource giving users the ability to view, analyze, and download information related to natural capital, so ecosystem goods and services. We often think of that as being something that's out there in, you know, beyond, but it's also things like, you know, the water we drink, the clean air that we breathe, the food that we eat, and we're all drawing on those. EJ Screen highlights places that might be, you know, looked at in terms of further review. It's a starting point for further dialogue with communities. And CFIRST is an online tool to provide access to resources, information, to help communities learn more about the issues that they're facing, at least those that we've identified so far in working with communities, compare their status with other communities, gather information, and develop options for potential solutions. So I'm just illustrating here that they all have links to this EPA Geo platform. So while you see maps in each of these tools, there's a reason for that. We're all drawing on much of the same data using different viewers and different GIS analysis tools. So I'm going to do a couple of slides in each of the tools, just as kind of a whirlwind tour, and then try and get to the examples so we can get down to meat. So basically, Enviro Atlas, you know, it includes geospatial indicators, supplemental data, land cover, soils, hydrogeology, analytical and interpretive tools. It's been developed in cooperation amongst multiple federal agencies and other organizations. Version 1 for EJ Screen was released in May of 2014. Excuse me, Enviro Atlas. Sorry, I'm giving you a head start. Enviro Atlas has two scales, which I think is really an interesting. They've got wall-to-wall coverage across the conterminous United States, which are basically 12-digit hooks or drainage basins. But for 50 populated places, they've got 1 meter land cover that they're able to go in and start to summarize those, again, using a census block group along the lines of what they've looked at for EJ Screen, and more than 100 data layers. And I'm going to show an example for one of the local areas. They're showing one here for Portland, Maine. I'm going to show one for Portland, Oregon. So EJ Screen, just very briefly here, since Mark went into this in considerable detail on the development of it. I mean, it's not something EPA is requiring states or tribal partners to use, but it's provided for their use as well as for the agency use. EPA may use it for particular purposes. It's a starting point. It's a pre-decisional screening tool. It highlights places for further review of potential concerns. The baseline screening could be supplemented with local information and experience. I think one of the ties I'm going to make is to PACH as well as some other community-based tools that you could work with the community in terms of gathering that local input. There's caution, that it should not be used to label areas or to somehow designate an area as an EJ community. That's not what we're trying to do here. So what is CFIRST? I've mentioned before, it's trying to empower communities with information and structured process, or I should say processes. So we're including currently the PACH and things that could be done using CFIRST to help in those various steps, as well as another that EPA had developed in cooperation with communities called the CARE, Community Action for Renewed Environment. And so we're showing here kind of those as two starting points or organizing principles, if you will, to work with the community, providing guidance, CFIRST, providing local exposure risk information, best practices, potential solutions, providing that in what is hopefully user-friendly interface, GIS maps, and community reports. The purpose of this is for helping to make a difference. It's including these step-by-step guidances. It's addressing challenges and needs that have been identified by the NRC, by NEJAC, National Environmental Justice Advisory Committee for EPA, and provides a means to communicate and translate relevant science to communities. So this is just a homepage for CFIRST showing some of the basic elements, being able to view maps of your communities, being able to compare local estimates using what we'll call a community data table, and I'll show an example of that. Gathering information. So gathering information coming in two forms. One is being an issue profile that's developed for about 40 issues showing information about what do we know, we in this case being EPA, CDC, NIH, and some other authoritative sources in terms of information about the sources, the risks, potential solutions for dealing with a number of problems. The other area just mentioned briefly is we provide linkages to a number of different types of environmental measurement methods. These range from the kind of thing that you could pick up at your local hardware store to citizen science approaches where people are using continuous or other monitoring devices and linking that to local collection to help better understand sources. And we're providing, EPA has helped to provide some documentation to help guide in the collection of those measures in a way that can help basically provide a context and help support the interpretation of that measurement. Exploring solutions. So once we've identified problems, what can I do about it? This is drawing both on kind of options that are generally identified, but also drawing on reports from the CARE, Community Action for Renewed Environment, EJ Grants, and other communities that have dealt with similar issues. So we're trying to provide this linkage between your community, other communities that have had similar issues. Community guides, I've already mentioned, or we've already heard, some really good summary here about the PACE-EH guidebook. CARE was something that EPA had developed as a program to reach out to a number of communities in various parts of the country. Skip over the disclaimer. I am going to highlight here, and I'll come back to it later, if people want access. We're in a pre-release stage right now. We've gone through external peer review, internal review. We have had opportunity for state and local agencies to look at CFIRST. Basically, we're trying to update data sets at this point before we go out to a public release. There was a request not to release this tool until we had updated the National Air Toxics Assessment to a new set that will be coming out probably in early December now. So using CFIRST or EJ Screen with CFIRST and EnviroAtlas. I mean, think about, EPA could be regional contacts, community outreach, could be Superfund, it could be other groups, state and local agencies, could be health departments, environmental agencies, and communities, community groups, leaders within communities might use these tools to work together in a sequence. So I think we've shown from what Mark identified earlier, identifying, candidate communities that are at high both exposure and disadvantage using EJ Screen. We might use CFIRST and EnviroAtlas to work with communities to help inform communities in order to take a closer look at what's going on the ground. It may or may not have anything to do with what was in the EJ Screen, but that was a community that was identified as, at risk, and they may have other issues than we're ever going to know coming into it. Using the CFIRST guides, again, with PACE-EH, I'd like to note that we're adding some things to that. Flo Falk is sitting over here, and she's been working with EPA, state and international groups in terms of developing methodologies and best practices for health impact assessments, which is basically trying to, what I'll use Flo's term, put a health lens on decisions that local communities are already making. So if they're looking at, options for development or for refurbishing a school is one example, refurbishing areas and neighborhoods, improving walkability, what are options that would maximize the health benefits from doing that? So we're working with EJ Screen, we're working with EnviroAtlas to try and link our tools in meaningful ways where it's possible and to update and harmonize databases. Just to mention an example here from work that we're doing with a project with Region 10, which is the Pacific Northwest, basically. They've been working with nonprofit partners, academic partners. It's kind of a model here of trying to work with a number of different partners at the community level in Portland and Tacoma, Washington. And, I mean, these are the people who are on the ground working with disadvantaged groups, including groundwork, which we had a presentation at their national conference last week, which went very well. We're working here specifically with Groundwork Portland. Right to Survive is basically a group representing and working with homeless communities. Academic partners. The model that we're kind of working on now, and this is a surprise, this is something we really weren't expecting, is that we've seen local campuses that reach these communities and teach the people living in those communities pick up these tools and start using them in environmental education classes, helping them to start, and the exercises become, let's use this to find out more about our community. Let's ground truth what you see here with the information you can gather. CFIRST has the ability, you can take what you found locally, put it into the map. I didn't even know you could put pictures into our maps. The high school kids found that out. You got to give it to the kids and you can really find out what they can do. So again, the importance of working with state and local governments and with the internal EPA programs. So you've seen an example of this from Mark showed earlier. This is in a particular area in Portland that they used to basically try and highlight some of the neighborhood areas, or in this case would be the block groups that they wanted to look at further. And this is just showing kind of the chart of the state rankings and the local rankings for the various indicators. Sorry, it's not very easy to see this. But basically trying to look again at these different percentiles, in this case for the PM2.5 in EJ index. And this is just, kind of looking at CFIRST in the same areas where the community groups and working in particular, I think this was with Groundwork, Portland, where they wanted to start going in, and they were actually teaching high school and college students that were part of their green team how to look at their neighborhoods. And, you know, so they went in and they looked at, okay, where are the schools? Where are EPA-registered facilities? And they were starting to go in and add things to the table. The mapping, you can highlight any, you know, particular point on the map, and you'll get a pop-up for that tract. You know, we're basing most of our work in CFIRST on a tract, with hopefully moving down further if data allows. And then the community data table, and I really apologize on this one. It looked better when I was putting these together. But basically, it's comparing, this is for a number of the different hazardous air pollutants, comparing the local community, in this case a zip code area, with the county, with the state, and the national average. So you can kind of put things into context for your community. And this is one using EnviroAtlas, again in the same area for Portland. And what we're showing is the dots is basically the population that's under 13 years of age by block group. Then it's looking at clean air in Portland, and the red lines here are the estimated percent of tree cover within 25 meters of a road edge, with the idea being that vegetative cover may provide an opportunity for shielding neighborhoods or communities from some of the noise impacts and the particulate matter and some air pollutants from that. So this might be something that could be used to start to look at, okay, well, if we're in a red area here and we're trying to protect an area that has kids living in that, maybe there's some things that we could do to prevent that pollution from reaching them. In the bottom area here, the colors, in the bottom left here, sorry, is the residential population that lives within 300 meters of a busy roadway. And you get down to the dark blue here, you can see that in this, you know, neighborhood area that they're looking in further, there's a lot of the population that's living in that, living with that. So CFIRST, I just wanted to mention a couple of things that are in addition to what you've seen before. One is you've already seen the PACE roadmap below, but then the Community Action for Renewed Environment also has a roadmap. In each of these, we link to what is the information you might get from CFIRST that you could use with that roadmap. We're hoping to do the same with health impact assessment, working with Flow, with another tool that we're developing called Community Cumulative Assessment Tool, which is basically taking the CARE roadmap and adding some of these features in terms of decision-making, ranking that were described before for the PACE. Collecting information about your environment, I mentioned, you know, earlier the idea of generating issue profiles. Each of these, there's an example, which is kind of what I want to highlight because people are like, well, where do I start? Well, one point is we've got kind of a quick start guide on the front page, but then under each of these, we've got an example that'll take you to a story map that'll show you step by step how you would use the tool to, in this case, generate an issue profile, or in this case, give you examples for making measurements in local environments. And then the option for, you know, exploring potential solutions with an example for finding risk reduction actions for childhood asthma and an example of seeing what other communities and tribes have done, in this case about runoff. A little bit in terms of limitations that apply to any of the data that we use in something like this. There's always, because we're basing this on nationally available data, there's going to be some issues with the completeness of that data, especially as we move away from urban areas where a lot of the monitoring data is done and into more rural areas, the geographic coverage, and then the accuracy and the time frame of the data. Many of these are either samples that are taken in specific areas, they try to smooth that over a larger geographic area and then fuse that with models to try and estimate concentrations in other areas of the maps, but that takes a lot of time. So some of these models and data sets run a few years behind. We currently have the 2005 NADA in the pre-released version of CFIRST. We're not going forward with that publicly. EJ Screen had some gaps in, you know, what he was showing because they were asked specifically not to, by the state agencies, not to include that in their initial public release. So once we can add that kind of data is when we'll be going forward. our next steps, I've got the 1 minute limit here, it's basically developing our plans. We are developing some additional training for CFIRS because we're really seeing something here that was not originally envisioned, and that is the communities picking this up, the community colleges and local groups picking this up and running with it, which means we really then need to step up and provide additional examples of how to use the tool and in some cases help people to even, you know, consider what their environments are. You know, that's one of the things with the group in Region 10, you know, the idea of thinking about air pollution, that wasn't at the top of their priority list of, you know, things they needed to live. But when you get high school kids interested in science, wait a minute, what happened there? So, I mean, it can be really a useful tool for that, but we have to support that. Engagement with state and local agencies, we have provided an opportunity for them to use the pre-released version, and I'm going to stop very soon here with one more slide, which is just acknowledgments for the group that we've worked with in the regions, the development team for CFIRST, and then how to access this. You could send an email to this, that way we can make sure that we've responded to things. If you have questions about CFIRS, you can address it there or access. So I will stop there.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have about 8 minutes for questions and answers.
Up here just quickly to the first question. Originally we had been aiming at people who had, well, technically really all you have to do is know how to use a web browser and you have an internet connection. In terms of interpreting the data or the results coming out of that, that's where things could get to be more tricky, of looking at air concentration numbers, what do those mean? Looking at risk estimates, that's really one to to ponder. And, you know, and initially, you know, the group that helped develop this had been saying, well, you need to work with an expert to interpret that. The people that I was working with in communities felt that was condescending. And so we're basically saying experts and communities could work together. And working with some of these colleges, especially environmental education programs, I think is providing a link here that we started using in Region 10. We're going to start try to reproduce this in a Making a Visible Difference community in Region 3. In terms of the support for it, we're just getting started on that, of trying to develop training that would be appropriate for basically three different audiences. One is for the more technically savvy. The other is for more of the educational institution to use. You know, if we can get some curricula or some material that they could just plug in and use, that helps bridge a gap. And then the third is the people on the ground in the community. So that's where we're headed. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I tried to show there is that, you know, something like EJ Screen is national. It could be local in terms of looking at a state. It could be a county, another area, in terms of identifying areas. I mean, that visual on the maps or in the reports of showing where this community stands relative to others, you know, really helps that. And I'm not going to, you know, sell EJ Screen short. They've got some nice GIS, you know, capabilities that I really like. But
I mean, that's an area that you could use that tool, you could use EnviroAtlas is really a more of a GIS tool that has the features of both ecological goods and services at a national level, but having that ability to hone in on one major coverage and show things like, you know, the tree surfaces or things like that. I mean, the tools that could be used together, I mean, they have a little different audience. It's more physical, built environment and the natural environment. C-FIRST is, I think, a little bit more oriented towards public health and looking at, okay, what can you do about it, plus what is some of the information and the data that you could accumulate that would relate to the more chemical stressors, chemical environment. Does that help? Yeah, we're still working on trying to identify that in an easier manner. I got to work on that part. My elevator speech.
I think it's a good idea to look at all three and get a feel for actually trying to look around on the website and get a sense of what each one does. Mm-hmm. They really are complementary. I mean, each one does some things that the others. One of the advantages of C-FIRST is if you're a community, it really gives you a lot of information on what can you actually do about an issue.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more about an issue, C-FIRST has a lot of information. If
right.
you want to do something about an issue, C-FIRST is great. If EJ Screening has a little bit of a different focus, it doesn't provide that, but it lets you quickly look at 12 different environmental
mm-hmm.
problems
yeah.
and get a sense for which ones might you want to look at more closely.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has that sort of combination of demographic vulnerabilities and environmental. And it lets you look across a wide area to look for hotspots, but it also lets you understand your community by comparing it to the rest of the country. Because, someone asked about what level of educational attainment is it aimed at. And one of the things we did with EJ Screening is we turn everything, we have the raw data, but we also turn everything into percentiles. Mm-hmm. So you can see, my PM number is 14. Well, what does that mean? It turns that into a percentile that says, well, that's worse than 85% of the whole country. Then, you know, that helps you interpret it a little bit. Gives you sense compared to the rest of the state, compared to the rest of the country. Someone's a GIS person or a data analyst, they can download the data and do all kinds of things with it. It's a pretty rich data set. You could, for example, you could use the methodology to create your own EJ index for some other issue, or you could use the proximity methodology to create proximity scores like proximity to K-phones or some other environmental issue. But as far as a cumulative, I mean, the philosophy in EJ Screening is we keep these 12 environmental issues separate. We show them all at the same time, so it's a baby step towards cumulative impacts or cumulative risk. We don't feel like we have the science yet to quantify how those would add together or the multiplicative interaction between all those environmental exposures, but we think it's at least a useful step to show all 12 of those problems on the same piece of paper. So you can kind of eyeball it and see, looks like there's a lot going on here. I don't know how to add these up, but there's a lot going on.